We begin today with a study of the great book of Hebrews in the New Testament. So let me encourage you to open your Bible right now to the book of Hebrews. And the first thing that we're going to do is to look at this title, Hebrews. You don't find the word Hebrews in the text itself beginning in verse 1. The book of Hebrews is different from most other New Testament epistles in that it does not begin with something like this, Paul the apostle to the church at such and such a place, or Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad, or anything like that. So the writer is not identified, and the people who receive this letter are not called people that are in a certain city. We see the word Hebrews as the title of this book, and we understand by reading this book that these are Hebrew Christians. In other words, these are Christians with a Hebrew background. They are Jewish Christians. These are people who have been raised and trained as Jews, but they heard the gospel and they believed and obeyed the gospel and became Christians. So this book of Hebrews is written to people with that kind of background. There are several characteristics or marks of this book that you need to keep in mind as you read it. First of all, it's oftentimes called the book of better things. And so, for instance, you're going to find that Jesus is much better than the angels in chapter 1. You're going to find in chapter 8 that the new covenant, the New Testament, is said to be better than the old covenant or the Old Testament. And you find, of course, in chapter 9 that he says that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is better than the Old Testament animal sacrifices. And so you'll want to look for this word better in the book of Hebrews. You'll also notice in this book that it's full of exhortation. Many times you will find this writer saying, let us. In other words, he is exhorting these people to do the things that he's writing about. You'll find that in just about any book of the New Testament, but you especially find it in the book of Hebrews. It's very similar to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament in that there is a lot of exhortation in this book. It's almost like a sermon as you read it because it does encourage, it does exhort Christians to do the things that he's talking about. And that brings me to the next mark that you're going to see in this book. And that is that these Christians who had this Hebrew background were being tempted to go back to their old religion. Now, this is the purpose of this book overall. And that is that there were Christians in the first century who had been converted out of Judaism that were going back into that old system. And so that fits together with what we said about the book of Hebrews being the book of better things, because he's talking to these people who have this Hebrew background, who were raised as Jews, and he's telling them that they should not in any way go back to the old law because the new law is better. They shouldn't go back to the animal sacrifices because they have the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All of this is found in the book of Hebrews. And as you read this book, you're going to find that there are several groups or several different kinds of members of the church that he talks about who have this Hebrew background. For instance, you find that there were Christians who had been raised as Jews, and they were converted to Christianity, and some of them went back to Judaism and gave up Jesus. They renounced Jesus and his church and his gospel and became enemies of Jesus Christ. Those former members of the church became so hardened in their hearts that the book of Hebrews says they would not return. In Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, he talks about these people. So there were some of these Hebrew Christians who became apostates to the point that they would never come back. Then there were other Hebrew Christians who were not attending the services of the church like they should. They were, as he says in Hebrews 10:25, forsaking the assembly. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There were some Christians then who were in the habit and who had the custom of regularly forsaking the assembly, that is, the worship assembly of the saints. Then you read about a good number of these people that he's writing to in this book who were attending the services, who were in that sense loyal to Christ, but they were not as committed as they should have been. They were not as interested as they ought to have been. As a matter of fact, he has to get on to these people in this book. He rebukes these people. And so he says in chapter 5 that he had a lot of things to say about Jesus Christ, but these people were dull of hearing. He goes on to say that they had had enough time to grow into being teachers of the Lord's word, but because they hadn't studied and applied themselves, they needed to be taught themselves. So he does say some things to get on to these people who are on the verge of leaving Christ themselves. And I believe that it's this group in the middle that he's writing mostly to and about. He wants to maintain their salvation. He wants them to stay loyal to Christ, and so he urges them not to give up. He tells them not to go back to that old religion. He tells them to stay with Jesus Christ, and so he gives them many reasons in this book as to why they should stay where they are, that is, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another point about this book that we really need to keep in mind is the main point of the book. Many times, Bible readers and Bible commentators will look at a book in the Bible and they will say, now this is the main point of this book. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, and many times it's a matter of opinion. But in the book of Hebrews, the writer himself tells us what the main point of the book is about. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8, and I'd like to look at verse 1. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 1, and here's where the Bible tells us what the main point of the book of Hebrews is really all about. In Hebrews 8, verse 1, the writer says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. The word sum there means the main point, the chief point. What is the main point or the sum of this book? He tells us. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Here it is. Here is the main point of the book of Hebrews. We have such an high priest. This book is about the high priest of the Christian religion, and that is Jesus Christ. The main point of this book is that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Everything else revolves around that main point. Everything else builds upon or leads up to that one central fact. Everything connects to it in some way or another. And so, because he's writing to Jewish Christians here, some of whom are on the verge of giving up and going back to that old religion, he's telling them that they have another high priest, a greater high priest today than the Old Testament Jews ever had. And that is, Jesus Christ is our high priest today, so why would you ever want to leave him and go back to an old, inferior system? And that brings us to another point about this book regarding the setting of these early Christians. He's writing this to Hebrew or Jewish Christians. Some of these Christians had already left the faith. Some of them were evidently on the verge of leaving Jesus Christ and going back to the old system, the old law. Now, where was the center place? Where was the focal point of the Jewish religion? It was in Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem was the temple. So you had a lot of religious activity in the city of Jerusalem in the first century. What happened to the temple in AD 70, though? Well, the temple was destroyed. The city was destroyed. many Jews lost their lives. They suffered horrible deaths. This book of Hebrews was evidently written a short time before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Now, why would we say that? Well, because in Hebrews chapter 10, he said that that event was yet a little while in the future. That's in the last part of Hebrews chapter 10. So it was not long after the book of Hebrews was written, and I don't know how many weeks, months, or even years we're talking about, but it was not a long time after the book of Hebrews was written that Jerusalem was destroyed. Now, how does that fit into what we've talked about already? Well, it means that it was a serious thing to leave Jesus Christ and to leave His church. Because, you see, Jesus had already warned His disciples when He was on the earth that there would be certain signs or indications of the coming of the Roman destruction. And so He finally told them that when they saw Jerusalem compassed, that is, surrounded by this army of Romans, and you read that in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, then He said, you are to leave that place. You are to get out of that city. Now, Christians, you see, would take that warning seriously. They would believe what Jesus said and get out of the city of Jerusalem before they were killed. But what about those Jewish Christians who turned against Jesus? Well, they no longer believed what Jesus said. They no longer listened to what Jesus taught. And so they wouldn't take that warning seriously at all. We don't know how many of those Jewish Christians who turned against Jesus Christ died in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. But we do know that those Jews who were in there did die horrible deaths. So the main reason, the greatest warning that He gives to the people in this book about turning away from Jesus Christ is that Christians who do that will lose their souls. That's the greatest danger that these people were facing. But in addition to that, you have an earthly consequence. You have a physical danger that these people were facing. And that is that these Hebrew Christians who turned against Jesus and became enemies of Christ and His church would die with the rest of those unbelieving Jews if they were caught inside of the city of Jerusalem when those Romans attacked. And even if they were outside of the city of Jerusalem, they could be killed by those Roman soldiers. So you can see why there is such a sense of urgency in this book. You can see why there's a tone of alarm. He's sounding the alarm. He's trying to wake these people up, because not only have some of them gone back to Judaism and away from Christ, but there are others that are on the verge of doing that, and He's trying to save them not only from this physical danger, but from eternal damnation in hell. And the main way that He tries to reason with these people is to show them the difference between the old and the new. If there's one book in the New Testament that talks about the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is the great book of Hebrews. And in the next lesson, we're going to begin with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1.